Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, the Smart Cities Podcast is the only podcast dedicated to all things smart cities. The podcast is the creation of ARC Advisory Group's Smart City Practice. ARC advises leading companies, municipalities, and governments on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business and quality of life in their cities. To engage further, please like and share our podcast or reach out directly on Twitter at Smart City Viewpoints or on our website at www.arcweb.com/industries/smart-cities.
Welcome to another episode of the ARC Advisory Group Smart Cities Podcast. I'm Eddie Fiddler. I'm a transport analyst at ARC. And today I'm joined by Bill Lowenthal, Senior Vice President of Product at ChargePoint. Welcome, Bill.
Hi, Eddie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for joining. Appreciate it. So I thought we'd just start by having you quickly introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure. So I'm Bill Lowenthal, and I lead the product organization at ChargePoint. And if you're not familiar with ChargePoint, ChargePoint's a leader in providing electrical vehicle charging solutions to businesses of all types, as well as consumers. And we operate the largest charging networks across Europe and North America, in which we're providing solutions for drivers to charge wherever they go, whether it's at home, at work, on the road. And we also provide a range of solutions for the electrification of fleets and kind of the whole transition to electric mobility, which is a really exciting time in the industry right now.
Perfect. Perfect. Thanks, Bill. Okay. So maybe we could just zoom out a little bit and just briefly set the stage regarding the EV space, where it is now, what's exciting, and then we'll talk about how ChargePoint plays into that.
Sure. And this is one in which I think a lot of your listeners are in North America, but is really a global phenomena, and one of which is transformative to mobility and transformative to climate change and air quality and really ultimately how cities and society moves in the future. And, you know, today what you see with electrification, and ChargePoint's been at this, you know, for 13 years. We were the founders of this company really had a vision before there were even electric cars. And I think we're very prescient in the sense that now we see, depending on what part of North America you might live in, you know, Teslas and other OEMs bringing forth super exciting cars and consumers, you know, really loving the experience of driving electric. But seeing that impact of electrification on the vehicle platform affecting all modes of transportation, whether it is the movement of goods and services, the movement of passengers on electric buses, this is touching kind of every way of which society moves. And it is what people have felt, it's becoming, you know, it's gone from slowly to suddenly. And if there's anything that's quite interesting is there's an unawareness of a lot of folks that operate parking lots and real estate of how fast their parking lots will really change and what demands that ultimately will be placed upon them to electrify, to serve their various constituencies. So we see a lot of vehicles in the passenger space that I don't know how much you've talked about on this program, but you know, all the major OEMs recognize that electrification is the future powertrain. And then you see that across the various class of light to heavy duty vehicles and transport solutions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, we do talk about that a lot and we write about that a lot. So perfect. So now maybe you could tell us how ChargePoint plays into this. And you mentioned you've been in the business for 13 years, which is really astounding. Yeah. Talk about ChargePoint solutions.
Sure. And so many people may are familiar with us, possibly what they see in the public in terms of our leading in North America charging stations. You can find them with the Orange Post and a lot of variety of public parking spaces and workplaces. But what ChargePoint really is a technology solution provider. We provide services to site hosts that operate that particular facility. Oftentimes it's a workplace or a retailer. And that includes cloud services that connect to a smart charging station, a networked charging station in the ground that then dispenses energy to these electric vehicles. And what the role of the cloud is it's really providing, it's a policy engine in the sky that is governing access control, pricing, and the movement of money. And so these networked chargers are connected to the ChargePoint cloud through a 4G connection, through a variety of telecom partners. Then given the policies that are available to that particular site, it is providing access, whether it's a residence at a multifamily property or an employee at a workplace that has special permission to use these chargers through connections platform that we have, or a general public user that's, you know, using their ChargePoint credentials to enjoy that session, and then is settled up with their ChargePoint account at the end of the period. So we provide a whole range of verticals. So you'll see us, whether you're driving from California, the Bay Area to Tahoe, you'll see ChargePoint chargers along the way for that journey. You'll see as you drive around town at your favorite, big box retailers, places to charge with ChargePoint. You pull up to work, and that's been a real kind of fundamental element for us, has been enabling workplaces as well as residential pieces. And I think a lot of the folks that may not be familiar with electric vehicles, they have this perception that it's a gas station-like model and that I drive somewhere to fill up and I drive when it's empty to fill up. And that's really not the predominant use case. When you get an electric vehicle, and what is so liberating is you really don't think about fueling at all. The car fuels where it's parked. And our drivers, typically, one of the motivations to get an electric vehicle is they live or work at a place that offers charging. And with more and more individuals in the United States living in multifamily properties, it's a really important area that one electrifies building codes and sent that electrification, what have you, because it's transformative to drive adoption of vehicles. And so what we see, and I think the U.S. government's actually published data about this, is if you live or work at a place that has charging, your consideration to acquire an EV vehicle goes up 6x because you know it will fit in your life. And the dominant behavior is you drive to work, you plug in, you leave, and your battery's full. Or you drive home, you plug in, you leave in the morning, and your battery's full. And that is really, 80% of the fueling that is on board of the vehicle happens in that kind of use case. And then, amenity charging, if I pull into a big box retailer or a restaurant or a hotel, if I'm having to attend a conference or something, is just supplemental charging that continues to top up the battery versus top off the battery. And so it's a much different fueling model. And I think that's one of the areas that is the least understood until you drive EVs. And so our focus has been a complete portfolio of the station solutions that one is needed, whether in a multifamily environment. We've got great solutions for the individual tenant versus a shared solution for the whole complex, whether you're in a workplace, whether you're in a retail or hospitality environment. Public parking venues often use ChargePoint, and then all the different back-end cloud to manage that experience consistent with the goals of that site host. So I think the other misnomer in this space is a lot of folks think that people are putting stations in the ground because they want to transact electrons and try to make money on selling the electrons to those consumers. For some of our customers, that is a goal, but not all of them. And so what's really interesting here is we've built our solution so that the goals of the site host, we can really help enable, support, and scale. And so that means if you're a retailer, what is attractive by EV charging is, sure, you have sustainability goals and you want to really be out in front supporting that with your organization, which many, many, many companies around the world want to do. But they also want to attract and retain consumers. And they want those consumers to spend more time in their stores and potentially put more things in their carts. And so with retailers, for example, there's strong interest to align that charging experience to their loyalty program to reward their frequent customers. And so it's not about selling electrons, it's about providing a benefit by using your particular loyalty credentials and then getting, you know, an hour free charging and then spending that time in the store. And so what we've done at ChargePoint is built this back-end solution. So whether it's that retail use case that works, or it's that workplace that has, maybe they're in an office park and they have a special, you know, free charging for employees, but a public consumer can use it for a fee. Those are very often frequent solutions that our customers need. And ChargePoint has built over these 13 years a substantial back-end platform that operates that whole experience and scale. And so we're really managing the station access, the pricing policies by driver groups, the access control by what group you're associated to, the movement of money for these customers. And then when we get into the fleet space, there's a whole nother set of dimensions. And so what's exciting, what we've been doing is the various verticals, whether it's commercial, residential, and fleet, as well as we are now throughout Northern Europe or throughout Europe with a whole range of solutions, as well as in Canada and the United States, with the complete AC and DC portfolio of stations married to this great driver experience with this great platform for the site host to operate the whole experience for the drivers. And so the other aspect of this is the driver. So we offer a free charging app. You can get it through the iOS or Android app stores. And what that app provides is access to the ChargePoint network. And there is no fee for the consumer to use the app. The prices for the stations are set by the site hosts. So when you download the app, what you'll experience is a map of the stations in your area, the status of the availability of those stations, and then the price of those given stations, again, set by the site host. And with just your phone, you can tap it to the station and initiate a session, and all that is then managed through your ChargePoint account, which makes it super simple. And we've been, you know, we are obsessive about providing a great driver experience because we know that's key for adoption, and it's in the best interests of our site hosts. The more we can make this easy for drivers, it really becomes a simple experience for site hosts to extend to more and more consumers. And so that driver piece is really key. Not only is that experience in the mobile app, but in all forms of, we have a relationship with a whole broad set of OEM partners, of which when you get your car from the dealership, there may be ChargePoint credentials that you get as part of that experience, as well as more and more you'll see ChargePoint in the dashboard in a variety of ways as new and newer vehicles come to the market.
Okay, great. So I'm very happy you mentioned the fact that most charging, the vast majority, happens at home or work, and that destination charging is a top-off. It's supplementary. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's still very important, mostly for the visibility aspect. Someone making that change from a legacy vehicle to an EV, it's really heartening to see these charging stations everywhere. It makes you more comfortable to switch. But once you do switch, like you said, 80% of the time, you're utilizing home or work. But then as ChargePoint, you're providing those charging solutions for all those verticals. So from the residential, whether it's single or multifamily or apartment buildings, commercial, and then fleet as well.
Precisely. And, you know, we have a very flexible portfolio. So the hardware components can go across various verticals, which is a great benefit to our customers because we have a lot of scale and experience of building these solutions to be reliable and serviceable and make it very cost effective because of the leverage we get across these verticals. And the continued expansion of destination charging and en route fast charge is incredibly important for the industry. And so we have a Great experience with our, what we call our CPE250, which is our high-speed 62.5-kilowatt charger that is really cool for site hosts because they can pair it and actually direct the power from a secondary unit into a car if only one of the stations is occupied. So that's something that people will encounter along various highway routes across the United States and Canada. We recently announced a partnership with the National Association of Truck Stop Operators, which puts that throughout the country. And there's a variety of programs that we've been part of in various states, Colorado and others, where we're ensuring that people can do their fun weekend excursions and going electric, whether you're skiing or camping or hiking or whatever. And so that is as important as making sure there's a great footprint around town as you're, you know, going grocery shopping and out to dinner and parking at work. So what's amazing here is, you know, there's, and you can see, you know, our stats in terms of new charge point ports are on our website. It's like a McDonald's ticker, right? It's growing so fast. And so people can see that there. But there's hundreds of thousands of places to charge. And people don't, like, I don't see where are they. And then they're not where you necessarily know they are until you're in the community and understand how to look for them. So they may be in your local municipal garage and you didn't know it. They may be at your library, you didn't know it. They may be at your favorite grocery store, you didn't know it. And so these things are all around us, and they're going, and they're multiplying because people anticipate the demand. There's a great, I think, effort among government and utilities recognizing this need with various incentives by state and country, states and countries to drive this build out that is necessary to support this transition that is going to be, it feels slow, but it's going to be sudden. You can look at the market share numbers of the vehicles that are selling, and EV has been very disruptive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That reminds me of a saying of, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. Oh, it's inevitable. So yeah, I think that's very relevant here.
Yeah, you know, so to that point, everyone's going to be driving electric. They just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think the proof there is that anyone you speak to who has upgraded, you know, it's like they took the red pill, and it's like they can never go back to a legacy vehicle.
Right.
And there's no better marketing than that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the repeat buy is incredible. And the benefits they see are various, right? So everyone feels, I think there's an enjoyment to drive an electric car. The performance enthusiasts love this experience. The satisfaction that you're doing good for the society in terms of climate change and air quality is everyone, that's a motivation for many. And it's a benefit for all. And then the other aspect is some economic ones. The cost to fuel your car with electrons versus petrol is significantly different. So because there's the variety of different places where you charge and the different economic models that they have, that helps support it. But the cost of electricity is cheaper than the cost of moving oil out of the ground, refining it, and shipping it to different places for distribution. So that's another component to this. And then there's the next part, which is also super appealing to large-scale fleets, the maintenance costs. Mm-hmm. Basically replacing rubber, meaning tires and windshield wipers, and you're not having the the mechanical engine elements to maintain, whether it's oil changes are a thing of the past when you go to an electric vehicle. So the maintenance costs are really compelling numbers to fleets. The operating cost overall, the TCO, is a significant issue that is the justifier for fleets to electrify.
Yeah, on the fleet component of this, you know, we've been writing about about how all fleets will electrify inevitably for a few years now. And, you know, the only term you can talk about when it comes to the TCO savings is astronomical. That's what I keep saying. They're astronomical. Mm-hmm. So in an industry that really pains itself and will really go to lengths to save 10% on TCO, that would be great. We're seeing use cases with 50% TCO savings. That's simply, that's like unconscionable. That's really, really inspiring, and it's fantastic for their bottom line. And so we're seeing, you know, delivery fleets upgrading. We're seeing ride hail. We're seeing logistics start to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, waste management, even law enforcement cruiser fleets. They're all seeing the same thing.
Yeah. So in that mirrors exactly kind of how we actually slice the fleet vertical, and you know, we've been doing motor pools for years, and that's typically a passenger car that's operated by an entity. It could be a utility, it could be a municipal city government pool of vehicles, what have you, that they assign and check out to individual drivers, and it could rotate on a daily basis. So we've been electrifying those for years. And I think it's on a website, but they've publicly talked about it. The city of New York operates one of the largest fleets that I've ever seen. And they have a whole variety of cars that they're managing. And they've talked about in their own releases just the significant reduction of maintenance costs. And so it's astounding. Like you said, it's an astronomical number. And it's really an important consideration, and there's others. As fleets electrify, there's a lot of things to look at to make that a smooth journey. And so I think that is one of the exciting things unfolding over this next decade that is transformative, but needs to be very thoughtfully guided as these various mission critical businesses transition their vehicles to electric. And so that's been a big thrust of ChargePoint. And one of which we see as significant growth for our company over the next decade. And that is because it's a bit of a solving a different problem. So when you look at what we have been doing historically around, and we're doing super large workplaces. So we know how to operate our customers at scale, and we've doing, you know, there's more drivers on ChargePoint than any other network. And so so we know how to support all of those elements at scale. What it means to electrify a fleet whose job is to deliver people or packages typically, it means something different. We're in the middle of their business model. And so we have expanded our solution set to really help guide customers as they contemplate electrifying their fleet. And here's the kind of issues that they have to think about. So I have this very established operating workflow business model, and my company runs on a particular set of partners, in whether it's the scheduling or the billing or what have you, that have done this for my liquid fuel fleet. How do I electrify? And so the questions come up with, well, what will my electric bill look like? How do I kind of continue and not disrupt the existing workflow solutions I have in terms of scheduling the vehicle or understanding its billing aspects and to build appropriate departments. But the issues become pretty practical in terms of which routes are the right ones for me to electrify based on the characteristics and the vehicle availability, which depots based on the available electrical infrastructure in that given area or the electrical costs. How do I think about maybe a mixed environment where I have some liquid-fueled vehicles and I have some electric vehicles? How do they coexist? Because what happens is, as vehicles return to a depot, there might be a particular workflow today around cleaning, fueling, staging, loading, departure. And that may change when you go electric. And so we've actually built a variety of an engineering and consulting practice to help people think through that before we even talk about how our software solutions and our hardware solutions help them through that. And then oftentimes they say, well, okay, great. Can you actually help me in the construction and build out of the depot? And some of them are surprised that, yeah, we do that. and then after it's deployed, who do I get support from and who can monitor it and who can help me because I'm now running my business on ChargePoint? How can you help me through that? Oh, we can do that. So we've built a whole new kind of set of capabilities around the needs of this fleet community because, again, it's critical we go electric in this space. There's economic reasons to do it. There's climate reasons to do it. And then oftentimes one of the factors that's driving the fleet community to electrify is mandates. And so there's lots of activity around the world of which in order to, you know, provide delivery or passenger transportation services in the, you know, 10 or 15 years from now, you're going to have a percentage or 100% of your vehicles be electric. So that is a huge driver for this transition. And so now folks are recognizing, wow, I need to really be thoughtful and have a plan of how I'm going to electrify. We've spoke with customers that maybe operate in North America, but their ownership is actually European companies that have made very strong and firm stakes in the ground about being in their sustainability goals. And so now you see those North American counterparts reckoning with, how am I going to go meet my corporate initiative? And so it is going from slowly to suddenly. And so, and to use your description earlier, yeah, it's going to be, you know, why? I'm behind and I need to catch up. So it's becoming frenetic. And so we are engaged with all types of fleet operators, whether it's transit, whether it's what we would call delivery and logistics. A lot of the movement of goods and services within plants is going electric. You talked about refuse, and you can look at the ChargePoint Twitter feed and our social media postings on all the various platforms, and you'll see exciting stuff that we're doing there in that waste management space. I'm looking forward to the time when my garbage truck is electric and I don't hear it coming down the road. And so it's touching all aspects of our lives, right? And one of the other thesis that ChargePoint has, and it's really been around the growth of our company, both in the regional plays that we're in, as well as the breadth of our portfolio expansion, is the ultimate vision is there is the fleetification of the world is upon us. And you're seeing that now in these work vehicles and delivery and logistics, what have you. And ultimately, you mentioned TNCs. Car ownership of millennials is going down. The urban, until the pandemic hit, that did affect people's urbanization, if you will. And we'll see how that kind of affects life. But where people live, you know, increasingly it's been in metropolitan areas. And so ultimately, when you look at this, what's exciting about the fleetification of the world is car ownership goes down because electrification begets autonomous. Autonomous really is a critical societal impact back to the, you know, your scope in this podcast series and your organization around smart cities is we devote so much real estate and capital to vehicles that sit parked majority of the day. And if we can fleetify and move to a more of a shared ride society through autonomous as well as through just electrified TNCs, we can recoup a lot of that real estate for higher and better uses like housing, like other ways of solving food crises like indoor farming and other better and higher uses. And so this fleetification of the world is transformative for society. And people don't necessarily see that every day in why the next electric vehicle that gets sold is so important, but it's coming fast. and it's going to come faster than people realize. And it goes back to my kind of comment up front, which is when we work with various commercial real estate, facility operators, workplaces, what have you, they don't realize the rate on rate change year over year of how many more EVs are being sold. Sure, it's a really small percentage of the total install base today, but they don't realize how fast their parking lots are changing. And they're going to have their constituents, whether it's a retail consumer or a tenant that they want to attract and retain, or an employee they want to attract and retain, they're going to expect these venues to offer electric charging. And so just like the fleet folks, that they need to make sure they have a thoughtful, considered plan, so do the commercial real estate entities and folks operating environments that are serving a lot of different types of constituencies.
I'm really glad that you brought it there, all the way from, you know, from one extreme of looking at this as, you know, boxes that plug into your car and charge it up, to, you know, a fundamental aspect of the entire mobility transition. And it's something we talk about a lot here at ARC, in terms of, like you said, the real estate that is dedicated to roads and parking and garages and lots, and how this is all playing in with the, you know, the CASE transition or the ACES transition, mm-hmm. Connected autonomous shared electric. Mm-hmm. And so electric isn't just one part of that, which of course it is, and it's about the emissions and it's about the powertrain. But it's also a very unique enabler of autonomy, like you alluded to. And very simply, it's partially just through wireless charging. If your autonomous delivery vehicle or autonomous ride-hail vehicle comes back to its depot, how does it fuel itself with petroleum?
Right.
Not simply, but to drive over a wireless charging panel, it's automatic. So even that small little tidbit there is pretty provocative. And just shows you how all four of those elements play together.
Yeah, and to build on that, so you're exactly right. And does it need to return to a depot, or does it need to fuel en route? And so one of the interesting aspects of this is mixed use. And this is why, you know, people think that in order to provide electric vehicle charging, I need a piece of hardware. Actually, you need a piece of software. And that's why we've taken this system view of, It's very intelligent, rugged, serviceable hardware connected to the smart cloud, because you're a mixed-use facility. You think about the build-out of of cities today. It's very mixed-use. It's live-work. It's close to transportation. It's very shared-centric hubs of transportation, if you will, and parking and other forms of personal mobility, whether it's scooters and things. The reason it's mixed use, why this is important, is you may have an environment that serves a business, the public, its own corporate vehicles, and the day parts of which those are needed will differ by constituency. Employees during the day, tenants at night, work vehicles potentially at night. But there also may be reasons why you would want to extend access to certain offtake agreements to third parties for onward fueling. So if you have an autonomous network driving around in terms of picking up consumers, you may want to have them charge at transit hubs, but you don't own those vehicles and they don't own those hubs. And so that's a really important brokered relationship that is managed through software, access control, permissions, and the movement of money. And it's going to be fluid and dynamic. So the notion that I build a depot for all my vehicles, sure, that's going to be some of the situation. But the notion that I need other access and places to charge these vehicles, either maybe a third-party depot or some transient locations that I know are predictable and reserved for me, that's true too. And so you can imagine that you pull up to a station and there's autonomous vehicles with retractable bollards at a certain time of day to reserve it for those autonomous fleets. But during, you know, other parts of the day, those retractable bollards are down and a consumer pulls up and plugs in. And so you're going to see a lot of hybrid conversion, because what it means for the site host who is trying to appropriately monetize their CapEx that they've put into the ground is they meet their sustainability goals, they meet their various constituencies, and these offtake agreements with this future, you know, electrified fleets that are out there is a different way for them to get return on their capital.
Yeah, so just like the ideas of charging for road use, charging for curbside, here it's charging for charging capacity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of these things are quite synergistic. And to your point about depots, they really do move away from, okay, one car, one person, or one charging station for one electric fleet vehicle. It's just going to be much more dynamic and interconnected and hopefully optimized compared to that.
Yeah, it depends on the purpose of the vehicle, right? So if the vehicle is actually delivering packages, then you need someplace to load those packages, right? If the vehicle is delivering people, unless you're picking it up at the depot, why go to the depot other than it, unless you have this contained cost of fueling and cleaning? And so it's going to be a combination of a lot of things. Our CEO likes to say life has more imagination than we do. And so that's why we take a very architectural approach technically. There's an amazing technical team at ChargePoint where, and maybe the genesis of the company will be interesting to this audience. The genesis of the company came out of a bunch of networking founders, and they understood that this networked charger that could control access and whether you want to charge a price or not and leverage intelligence about the chargers that are next to it is going to be the important architecture in terms of the framing of the whole network. And that has led to a profile of team at ChargePoint that is a combination of best-in-class power and electrical and hardware engineers combined with firmware and software and back-end and mobile. And so what's unique about us, particularly when you look at some of the ways some of the early folks have gotten into the charging space in other parts of the world, is oftentimes you see like there was an industrial electronics company that creates a charger, and then there's another company that creates a piece of software, and then there's another company that creates a mobile app. And that's mm-hmm. all fine. It's a great way to start. It's not unlike how the computer industry started. But then you get into, in order to make this simple and easy for the consumer or the fleet or the site host, some goodness comes when you can really integrate the mobile app experience or the in-car experience, if you will, to the driver access to it, to how those that interacts with the cloud and how that interacts with the station, from whether it's making it simple for the driver to find, reserve, and pay, or whether it is really providing the best class diagnostics, uptime, and proactive solutions for fleets. That's why we've taken such an architectural approach in how we have designed our products for serviceability and monitorability, as well as how we have designed the software that runs it for both the supportability as well as the consumer and the fleet host experience. And so many people think, oh, I just need this piece of hardware. No, it's a system solution, and it really requires an understanding of the dimensions of how your platform grows over time to serve your particular organization. And, you know, we haven't even talked about energy and we haven't talked about the grid. We haven't talked about utilities. We haven't talked about renewables. And that's why when you factor all those in and the price of your energy and the interaction with building systems and solar loads and everything else, that a lot of that optimization comes through software. So there's so many things that people are surprised about after they start to get into this space about, oh, I didn't think it was going to be like this. And I didn't think it was going to be like this. And it's cool. Every day, you know, I think more and more people are becoming more intimate with the journeys that's in front of them and all the components to consider. And ChargePoint, I think, has done a good job to frame some of those as we help customers through that. And our website takes a lot of people through that. There's a great fleet section on our website for your audience that would be particular in that particular journey. Mm-hmm. About things to consider and in the range of solutions. And, you know, one of the things that we want to make sure also is this is available to all communities. It's affordable. There's not a barrier. There's some great incentives from utilities and local governments. And what we've done also is tried to innovate around the business model. So people think, do I have to buy this hardware and the software and how does it work? And does ChargePoint make money on my utilization of my electrons? Nope. And so we're a technology provider, right? And so you can buy our stations and then a license to the cloud plants and the various support options, or we can roll it into a monthly bill. And so we have ChargePoint as a service. So as low as $100 a month, a local business can offer charging to their constituents, and we're trying to make that attractive and available to all. And so that's a really important part of this transition, is to make sure, you know, all communities can go through this electrification transformation together.
Mm-hmm. And that's a uniquely 21st century approach to a new industry. It's pretty amazing to start such a new industry within the first decade or two, already looking at it the way you're looking at it, and not just looking, but doing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the needs of customers can be very different, and so you need a lot of flexibility to help them through their journey. And I think one of the aspects that I kind of illustrate to customers and some of our team members is I started off, and just to take a workplace as an example, I started off that I wanted to offer electric charging in a building to my local employees. So I got a charger. And then I assigned someone in HR to administrate permissions for employees to get access to that charger. And hopefully they started there, because if they just put it in the ground, there's mayhem, by the way. and so they needed some access control, right? Otherwise, people would be disappointed. Then more and more cars kept coming. And so now I needed to have more chargers in that location. And so now it became a larger management issue for that person in HR and facilities to keep up with the administration of those chargers. Then there's another building that wants it. And so what may start out at a grassroots level in a company is important, because over time, it's going to interact as it scales with the building load. The energy bill will become more significant. It's important for the sustainability goals. And they have more and more facilities that may need the solution. Ultimately, it needs to be at a corporate headquarters level and not the grassroots level, to have the longer-term plan about how to electrify, because it affects the corporate vehicles too. And so I think what we see is, you know, to your point about the shift of the centuries, there was a lot of, I think, very forward-looking people started out with electrifying for their employees, and then it became a corporate program and a backbone of their sustainability objectives and successes. And then, how does my charging infrastructure now work with my new building and our solar strategy? That is the next conversation that we often have with facility leaders and sustainability managers. So this next, you know, 30 years and the various activities around the globe to combat climate change, as well as to use renewables, is, I think, every organization is going to be going through a planning cycle, and electric charging is a key component of that whole solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't talk about that too much today. So maybe you can just touch on it briefly here, and we're cognizant of our time, about energy management and that kind of optimization.
Sure. And so we have long have had a lot of solutions that you could call power management or energy management. And from the simple to very advanced. And here's kind of why this is important. Just back to that example of I began with that one building, and then I had to scale to meet up with all the demand that's changing. My parking lot's changing faster than I realized. What often happens is there is a constraint about how much infrastructure and electrical supply is at a given site. And so we have solutions through software that can allow more charging ports to be added without more panel capacity or infrastructure to be added. So how can I service more vehicles without adding more CapEx? And that is accomplished through our power management solutions. Then there is another solution, which is now, how do I'm a fleet operating at scale. In the United States, we have, in some regions, this concept of demand charges. If you hit a certain peak load through a month, that resets your rate for the remainder of the month.
Right.
How do I stay below that ceiling and put a limiter on how much energy I'm consuming in light of the needs I have of my fleet? And how can I shift the load to avoid demand charges or accomplish charging in the cheapest time of use rates? So we have sophisticated solutions around that, again, rooted in software, that control and interact with the chargers and the vehicle schedule. So imagine you're a vehicle or you're a fleet operator, and you have a bank of vehicles that need to leave at a certain time in the morning or at night. We know that schedule. We know the energy rates. We know the building load. We know the demand charge profile. And we manage that through an algorithm so that your vehicles are ready to leave in the morning. We did it the most economic way we could. And we may have shifted the scheduling to accommodate all of them. And then we even know the real-time conditions that may affect that vehicle day to day. Is it a rainy day? Is there going to be slow traffic? Is the particular vehicle maybe taking an alternative route that has a higher incline and comes back with a different state of charge? All of that is into a vehicle scheduling and energy management platform we have to optimize that experience for fleets. And so that is from the simple to the advanced kind of span, and we have a whole bunch of things in between. If that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, it does. It's pretty striking how you can integrate data sources and considerations that might not come to mind right away, and that definitely don't come to mind when you're approaching this from the sort of 20th century, analog petroleum mindset. It's almost like the shift to EVs. It's part of this entire broader shift to digital first and everything you're talking about. So it's really fascinating.
Yeah, no, it's fun. There's a lot of activity in the space. We're growing like mad, and it's a super exciting time. And so I think it is. It's our participation in both Europe and North America allows us to provide a better experience for our customers collectively. And our experience in these various verticals has really allowed us to build this flexible platform that in more and more situations has become a key enabler for these customers to accomplish their objectives. And so I'm super excited about the industry, there's a whole range of exciting vehicles, and we're working with, across the board, across the fleet and passenger car OEM space, super exciting vehicles. You can see every day on ChargePoint social feeds, the kind of partnerships that we're announcing. And then back to the fleet piece, these fleet operators depend on key partners that they've run their business with for years, and we're working with all those guys too. So the billing can be seamless. They can do on route fueling. They can figure out their scheduling. We know the state of the charge on the vehicles. And so it takes this collective ecosystem, and a lot of that's again accomplished through software. And so when you marry the right APIs, software framework, intelligent hardware, and all the support, design and build consultations, we have a great solution to help people kind of make this journey. So really glad you had us on the podcast. Excited to talk to any of your listeners and learn from them too.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. And I thought maybe we could just wrap up with Just your take on what moving forward looks like for the EV space, some of the big barriers, and also how politics and policy is playing out. Of course, here in North America and the U.S., we have an election coming up, and one of the candidates has talked a lot about building out national charging infrastructure. So maybe just touch on these points. And
so, yeah, like I said, I think it's a super exciting time. A lot of this is the scaling of more and more businesses going through the electric journey is really, I think, the roadmap that the world needs for the next 10 years. And the technology solutions that come to bear on that, there's great solutions that exist today. So we're not waiting for stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that, I think that's important. If we're waiting for anything, we're waiting for vehicles. And so there's a range of great passenger cars coming. And then in Europe, as an example, the there's a whole host of vehicles that are coming also on the fleet side. So you're going to see, and you know, there's a lot of exciting news you can see with the various vehicle OEMs in the United States, a range of light duty, medium duty, and heavy duty vehicles coming over the next several years. So I think the vehicle piece will address a lot of this, and I think a lot of the different fleet operators are monitoring that situation. We've been doing this for 13 years. We've lived in and out of different administrations. So the policy impacts are super important, but the industry at whole and private businesses recognize the importance. So I think that will take care of itself. This is the logical thing that the world needs. Consumers and businesses both are delighted, to your point, when they go electric. And so there's no turning back here. I think it's a matter of acceleration. There's a matter of alignment of policy and the right incentives to help encourage people to move along. And I think we're seeing great, great momentum there.
Right. I agree. We are seeing that from the policy side. But almost more importantly, the underlying dynamics here are so powerful and so, you know, delightful and cost saving, as you're saying, that it almost doesn't matter who's in the White House long-term, so to speak, right? And that really speaks to how powerful this is.
Yeah, market forces, you know, come to bear on this too, right? And so there's a lot of wind in our sails, and wind is renewable too.
Perfect. And with that, I think we can wrap it up. So Bill, thank you very much for joining and sharing the ChargePoint story. It's been my pleasure.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Take care.
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, the Smart Cities Podcast is the only podcast dedicated to all things smart cities. The podcast is the creation of ARC Advisory Group's Smart City Practice. ARC advises leading companies, municipalities, and governments on technology trends and market dynamics that affect their business and quality of life in their cities. To engage further, please like and share our podcast or reach out directly on Twitter at Smart City Viewpoints or on our website at www.arcweb.com/industries/smart-cities.